WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to be on Twitch and have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also follow the regular way, subscribe the regular way, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. Switch.tv/WGNLive. WildTalkRadio.com. RackRadioShow.com. Tweet us at WildTalkRadio. At RackRadioShow. At Lindsay Ward. Throughout the night. We're out with us there because we have stuff to do tonight. Okay. It's not going to be a long show.
No, this is not going to be a long show. We didn't do a discussion or anything. Because there's really nothing to discuss.
Here's a discussion. Brian Danielson and Hangman Page went an hour. No one won. We get a rematch.
Woo! Another rematch. But isn't AEW not supposed to do rematches?
Didn't
Tony Khan criticize WWE for rematches?
Yet they're doing series of matches. They're not doing rematches. They're doing trilogies of matches and series of matches. Just not rematches. They're just redefining what the word is. See? Wrestling discussion. Got
it's
one.
Swerve.
You got one.
Ding. Anyway, we're not taking any breaks tonight. We're just doing news notes and NXT. I don't even think we have Tweet of the Week, do we?
We can do Tweet of the Week. Yeah. It's fine.
So... Yay, short show, woo! So I said we don't waste any time and we jump right into the news, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, and probably the biggest story of the week is that Kevin Owens has re-signed with WWE. It is a multi-year deal that dropped this week, so go Kevin.
So yeah, so let's talk about Kevin Owens. So it was reported a couple months ago that his contract was coming up. It comes up at, it was supposed to expire on January 31st. 2022. He restructures his deal a few years ago, so it would end earlier than probably whatever his deal was. We've seen, you know, many people jump. We've seen Adam Cole, Bryan Danielson, and the like head over to AEW. WWE now scores one for the home team. Kevin Owens is staying, and he, as he said, it was a very easy decision to make. He's all about family. He's all about doing what's right for his family and what's best for them, and staying with World Wrestling Entertainment is what's best for his family, which means it's best for the Kevin Owens business. It is roughly probably, I believe, a three-four year deal, $2 to $3 million a year.
Oh, we have money.
Yeah, wow. we have money. We have details. So that's kind of where we're at with that. Some people are upset that Kevin Owens is staying in WWE and not joining the Bucks and the like over in AEW. But when you do the math and you look at the positions and where people are lie, there aren't as many spots people believe in AEW than there is in WWE. So let him take the guaranteed spot instead of working and hopeful for a spot on a two-hour show every Wednesday night. And get a guaranteed spot on a Monday night in a three-hour show.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy for him. If it's what he wants, then it's nobody's business but his. I think he's better suited for WWE. I think he could do well in AEW if he wanted to. But I think he's better suited where he's at. And like you said, me personally, just looking at AEW's roster, I don't feel like they need to bring in anybody else right now because they're not even using everybody that they have. And you've brought in so many people recently that it just makes sense to just work with who you have for right now and maybe save people coming in for a little bit down the road.
So let's talk about AEW booking for a hot minute. And everyone helped praises their booking, right? That's kind of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at Miro. He was your TNT champion for a few months. And everyone's saying they're booking him tremendously. He lost the championship. They had nothing left. There was nothing else for him. That he was a fill-in replacement for Jon Moxley in the World Title Eliminator Tournament. He would then go on to fight Bryan Danielson, lose to Bryan Danielson. And now, when they feel like it, they do vignettes where he's basically feuding with God. So I don't think he's being booked the best. So it's like, it's one of those things. It's trying to find spots for people and you can't really find a spot for him. You got people like Powerhouse Hobbs, who's a homegrown talent, and he doesn't get on TV that much. Jungle Boy doesn't get on TV every week, who you're trying to push. So it's like, you don't have enough spots. And for Kevin, and people talk about how we hope he doesn't get lost in the shuffle. Throughout the COVID period, when he was there, he was pushed pretty well. Let's talk about that. Wasn't he in the Royal Rumble big match this year with Roman Reigns, I believe, right? For the world title. Had a whole program with Roman.
Yep.
Then was in the celebrity match at WrestleMania, which is a high priority. Yeah.
I think it's just overall, I think it's going to be a better fit for him. And like you said, he did it for his family. Like he's basically securing the bag for his wife and his kids.
Yeah. And I would suspect Sammy stays as well.
Sammy's in an interesting spot. I don't know if he would stay if he would go. Like, I could see Sammy going back on the indies. Like, here's the thing. This is where you have to kind of wonder if ROH closing impacts a lot of the decisions right now. Because with ROH being gone, that just leaves AEW an impact in terms of the larger companies to go to. And then obviously you have all the indies, which are completely valid. And they could go to the indies, but I think they're looking to land in a larger name company, obviously for the exposure. So that way they can run out of a larger name company and then they can do the indies if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
With ROH now being gone, it's no longer an option. So it's, well, I can go to AEW and I can try to find my way in AEW. I can go to Impact and not have to fight as hard, but Impact doesn't really have the viewership that AEW or WWE have, so I'm not going to get as much exposure as what I would in the other two. And ROH was kind of that happy medium right there. And so I wonder if that's having like really any impact. I also wonder if people are kind of seeing what's going on and going, you know, I don't think I really want to do that. It's better that sometimes it's better the devil you know.
Yeah, that's kind of a thing.
Like, it really is. It's like, why do people stay in jobs they hate? Because it's the devil you know. It's the devil you're familiar with. It's like, you know what? I can do this every day. I can tolerate this every day. Do I like it? Not especially. Am I a fan of it? Not really. But you know what? I can tolerate it. And sometimes you tolerate it for your own personal reasons. And I'm not saying any of this on Kevin Owens. This is Kevin Owens. Like, I'm not trying to project that onto him at all. I'm just saying that that could be one of the reasons why is it's just, you know what? This is what I know. I'm established here. They like me. I'm in a good position. They're willing to pay out, you know, $2 to $3 million a year. That's nothing to laugh at.
He played the leverage game really well.
He played the leverage game really, really well. And realistically, he could probably take the money and once he's done with his contract, retire if he wanted to. Because Kevin Owens is late 30s, early 40s.
Late 30s.
So he's probably coming up on the end of his contract or at the end of his career, probably within the next 5 to 10 years, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's get the money while you can get it. Get it now, because it's like he can always go after this contract is over. He can always go to AEW or he can always go back to the Indies. Like, that's not even a question. He can always go do that if he wants. But for right now, if WWE is willing to give him the money to keep him, take the money. Because that's less you have to do further on down the line, especially since he and his wife, I don't think, live overly extravagantly. I think they lead pretty modest lives, so...
But this contract will help him put his kids through college.
Yeah, this will help him put his kids through college. This lets them put away stuff for retirement. He can invest stuff if he wants to. Like, this is all around a good deal for him.
So congrats to Kevin Owens for staying with World Wrestling Entertainment.
Ding! Go, Kevin! WWE has announced its very first NIL class, which this was interesting. I'm not sure I'm a fan of it.
So what this is this is an opportunity. They're going to see if any of these people work out.
Yeah. This is we see potential. So we're going to go ahead and sign you and yeah, we're going to see where it goes. So the names of the next in line first class are Carlos Velez from Ventura, California. I'm sorry if I say your name wrong, by the way. He is a 6'6", 305-pound track and field athlete from The Ohio State University.
I'm glad you had it. The Ohio State.
Which, by the way, why is it The Ohio State?
Because they're very proud of The Ohio State. I don't know.
Why is there a The in front of it, though?
I don't know. Brent, do you know? Let us know.
Brent, why is there a The in front of the... in front of Ohio State. The Cavender sisters, Haley and Hannah from Gilbert, Arizona. They are 5'6" basketball players from Fresno State University. AJ Ferrari of Dallas, Texas. He's a 6 foot flat, 200-pound wrestler from Oklahoma State University. Lexi Gordon from Fort Worth, Texas. She is a 6 foot basketball player from Duke University.
Okay.
Elia Hutchins, I'm sorry again if I said your name wrong, Toronto, Canada. A 5'5" track and field athlete from Wake Forest. John Cron from Riverside, California. He's 7 feet, 400 pounds.
If you look up at his picture, he's a big dude.
He's a big man. And he's a football player from Portland State University. Glenn Logan of Kenner, Louisiana. He's a 6'5", 300-pound football player from LSU. Isaac Ojisbison. I'm very sorry. Lagos, Nigeria. He's a 6'4", 275-pound football player from the University of Alabama. Wow, they got somebody away from Nick Saban?
Wow.
Damn. Mason Paris of Lawrenceburg, Indiana. A 6'2", 275-pound wrestler from the University of Michigan.
Okay.
Mozzie Russell, Potomac, Maryland. A 5'5", track and field athlete from the University of Kentucky. John Seaton of Hillsboro, New Jersey, 285-pound football player from Elon University. Joe Spivak from Lombard, Illinois, a 6 foot flat, 300-pound football player from Northwestern University. Dalton Wagner of Spring Grove, Illinois, a 6'9", 330-pound football player from the University of Arkansas. And finally, Riley White from Hoover, Alabama, a 5'6" track and field athlete from the University of Alabama.
These are some athletes.
There's an interesting mix. A lot of football players,
track
traditional wrestlers, track and field.
Yeah,
like you see, kind of what they're scouting and what they're looking at. I think what they're trying to do is figure out a formula based on what they've seen. Where you need to kind of have, because it's like all of those are a really good mix. Because you already have to have like the cardio and the endurance up to be able to do any of that.
Yeah.
And then you just add the wrestling on top of it. So they're looking at people that already have an established cardio routine in place and already have sort of that cardio stamina ready to go. Because I think that's probably like one of the hardest things in wrestling is just building up your stamina and your cardio. So on the for Ohio State, President Edward Orton was insistent that a new name would separate the institution from the other colleges in Ohio. Legend also has it that the was used to show the other colleges which institution was supposed to be the leader in the state, both in size and in financial support from the legislature. Oh, so the is a dick measuring contest.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So it's Edward Orton. I wonder if he's related to Randy Orton. Decided to whip his dick out and put a D in front of Ohio State. Got it.
Got it, yeah.
Got it. Okay. Thank you, Brent. So we'll see where this NIL class goes.
So it's like they get some money, helps them through college, and WWE will take a look at them. That's where we're at.
I'm kind of liking, like, I'm hating it, but I'm also liking this whole NCAA allowing this kind of stuff to happen sort of thing. Because mm-hmm. it's allowing athletes to, especially for athletes who don't necessarily have the opportunity, like football or baseball or basketball, to have a professional career after college, to start to explore those opportunities while they're still in college. So I like that. I don't know if it's going to be the best system, because obviously the biggest and the best universities are going to get the best deals. But I like that they're opening that door for those athletes.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what do? You go to college, you're a track and field star, you're a baseball star, and you decide not to go pro. What are you supposed to do? You know?
Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity.
We'll see what they make of it.
Yep.
Up next, we have Batista. He's been announced for M. Night Shyamalan's new top secret movie, Knock at the Cabin. Guaranteed to be fucked up.
Yep, he has a leading role in that film. That should be interesting for Batista. So he's still making moves, million-dollar moves.
Holla holla. New Year's Eve SmackDown is to be a best of show on FS1. Smart. You don't want, you know, they don't want to be working on New Year's. So they're doing a best of show again, especially after I think people kind of pitched a fit last year.
So the original plan as of about a couple months ago was to be live from Charlotte on New Year's Eve. They decided against it when they made the move to do day one in Georgia. So instead of doing the show live on New Year's Eve, they're going live on New Year's Day for the pay-per-view.
Hey.
Which will have hip-hop trio Migos, who are actually from Georgia, at the show.
Woo! I don't know who you are, but way to go. Local talent! Yeah!
That's what counts. Gotta
what
pop,
counts.
Gotta pop that hometown crowd.
You do. You really, really, really do. So here's one that's a little shocking, but not a little shocking. And I heard about this. They're not the only ones to do this.
Nope.
But WWE has announced they will officially stop doing DVD releases at the end of the year, indicating that they are going fully digital on their archive.
Yeah. It's an interesting move. I guess putting money into mass releasing a product that is probably not a huge seller is a smart move for them. So they're also not the only people. If everyone knows what RF Video is, they have stopped their DVD production as well. They're going to a digital platform as well. It's an end of an era, because, you know, WWE DVD releases were a thing for a long, long time after the VHS era. By the way, Impact, why did you make a VHS tape of your pay-per-view?
Why? What are you doing?
What was that move?
You are grossly underestimating the amount of people that have VCRs.
I know, we're two of them, but still, it, yeah, no. But yeah, it's an end of an era. So everything will be based on the digital side, and I would wonder if this opens up them maybe moving some of their, what were DVD releases to, say, like, the Apple Store?
That's entirely possible, where you move them into the Apple Store, or you move them, I think they're on Peacock.
They're on Peacock, but whatever, you know, you can sell them individually, stuff you would have on Peacock. Maybe, like, they premiere on Peacock, and then a month or two later, you sell them on the Apple Store. So people who don't want to buy the Peacock service can still own the product.
Apple, Amazon,
whatever, whatever it may be, yeah.
Hulu, I think you could do it on, because they still have a deal with Hulu. But yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised by this, because honestly, with the advent of digital and streaming services, DVDs are becoming less and less popular. You have to store them. You have to, you know, you have to keep them at, basically, you have to store them. And there's a huge production value, or not production value, there's a huge production cost. There we go. There it is. To make them, send them out, and sell them, and you have to get them into stores, or you have to get them onto something like Amazon, where people will buy the physical copy of the DVD. And why are you going to go to the trouble of buying the physical copy of the DVD unless you really, really want it, and wait for it to be shipped when you can go onto Peacock and you can watch it instantaneously on Peacock? Like, the thing is that once the pay-per-views air, you can watch them pretty much right after they air.
Yeah.
There's virtually no downtime in between when they air on Peacock and then when they're available for replay. Why are you going to wait on a DVD when you have that? And I think that it's a tragic thing because it's a sign of the times and it's really sad. But at the same time, it just makes...
We're getting old.
We're getting old, Rock.
I know.
But it just makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it just makes sense that to go that route and stop producing DVDs because that's one less thing that they have to sell. That's one less thing that they have to produce. It's a cost-cutting measure. It's a budgetary measure. Oh, my God. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not angry about this at all. It's a little sad. It's very depressing. But I'm not angry about it because you have plenty of other options to get a hold of the DVDs or get a hold of the pay-per-views. So it's really not that bad.
No.
It just sucks for people who don't want to do streaming or can't do digital and can't get a hold of the pay-per-views anymore. But I don't know how many people... Like, that's the thing. I don't know how many people were, like, buying the DVDs.
That's a...
Because, like, obviously there weren't enough of them to warrant keeping them.
Yeah. Looking up something. Yeah, it had to be a spot where they looked at that that financial aspect of things and went, maybe this is not worth it.
Because, like, I have a whole pile of DVDs sitting in my basement right now that I don't watch or use because everything that I watch now is digital content. Like, it's on a cloud server somewhere, and that's how I view it. So it's like, I can see a lot more people going this route in the next few years just because Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, and Apple have all kind of grabbed hold of that market and they're holding on to it in between, and Disney. And between those providers, you can get pretty much anything you want. And then you have smaller content providers that do like specialty niche stuff. So with all the Evans services, you can just... You can get what you need and what you want. You don't have to buy DVDs or VHSs or whatever for it. Especially for movies.
Yeah.
Because I think... No, Disney said they're not getting rid of it. Did they?
I don't know. So, here's how that broke down. They made... The media revenue for the other section was $2.2 million. Last year was $2.7 million in the third quarter. So, they're not making a lot per quarter on what they consider other revenue, which includes... Other revenue within the media segment reflects the revenue for distribution of WWE content, including but not limited to certain live and in-ring programming content, international markets, scripted reality other programming, as well as theatrical and direct-to-home video releases. So it's not like a money-making.
It's not as big as it used to be.
No.
So that, again, that makes sense. It's like, yeah, it's not making any money, or they're just breaking even on it, or they're even losing money on it. I'm not saying they are. It's just the reason why you would cut something like that is like, it's just not worth it to keep doing it for them.
So here it is. They made for 9 months ending of September 30th in 2021, $21.4 million. Compare that to core content rights fees, it's $422
million. Mm-hmm. So, there you go.
And network fee is $184 million. So... And last year,
yeah.
And going a year back, it was $69 million in 9 months to $21 million. So they can see where their money is not at. And that includes other things, but you could see it's not a driving force.
Yeah.
So when you look at the numbers, it probably, to mass produce something that they're not doing. Yeah. So, and it also probably had to do with probably deals coming up with distributors. As well, if it's not making us money, why sign those contracts?
Yeah, agreed.
All right, what's next?
So up next, we have Rey Mysterio. He's getting an animated series that's being developed for Cartoon Network Latin America. It's called Rey Mysterio versus the Darkness.
There's some Spanish word for the darkness, but that's what translated to in English. So, yeah.
So that's really cool.
Yeah, it's a big... It's a big thing for him and a big thing for his legacy that he's going to get his own cartoon series. So, pretty cool.
Very cool. So, congratulations to him. Moving on to AEW really quickly. AEW star Austin Gunn, the son of Billy Gunn, has been cast on E!'s newest reality TV show titled Relatively Famous Ranch Rules. I don't know what to do with that.
I don't know. I when I saw it, I was like, Austin Gunn's on a reality show. It's called... Relatively Famous, and I guess in those terms that's technically he is relatively famous. I'm trying to find the article. He's going to be on it with the daughter of Pat Panettard, Hannah Giraldo, Austin Gunn. You have Taylor Hasselhoff on the show.
Okay.
Jasmine Lawrence, the daughter of Martin Lawrence, Shaq's son, Miles O'Neill, Raymond Parker, son of Grammy Award-winning musician actor Ray Parker Jr., Harry James Thornton, Billy Bob's kid, Ebby, the daughter of rapper Eazy-E. Yeah, that's not saying he doesn't belong in that group, but I don't know if he actually belongs in that group. But yeah, he's on that show.
Interesting.
It looks to be something.
Well, I hope it goes well for him. I mean, it's not my cup of tea. I'm probably not going to tune in. But if he enjoys it and it does something for him, go him.
Yeah, I believe it's going to be on E, I think.
Yeah, on E.
Okay.
Moving on from that, AEW Revolution is announced for March 6th in Orlando. So everybody stay tuned for that.
Tickets are on sale now, I believe.
Okay. All right, so go get your tickets. Go attend.
Or at least, I think, maybe as early as tomorrow. I think the pre-sale was today. Tickets are on sale tomorrow. Don't quote me, but I think if it's not tomorrow, it's very, very soon.
So ding.
Ding.
So that does it for the news. Let's do NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
A new era of NXT has begun.
It's so sad.
The end of the Johnny Gargano era of NXT is coming on. So before we get into everything that happened on NXT, I need to talk to you about something.
Hmm.
So Johnny Gargano has a Twitch channel now. He's a Twitch streamer now, The Johnny Wrestling. And he was talking about, he joked on his stream about, you know, he's a weird person now. He's weird and nerdy. You know, it gets so weird. We may film the birth of the child on here.
No. Johnny, don't do that to your wife.
He's joking, but he's going to continue to make that joke. But, you know, I mean, can you show a birth on Twitch?
I don't think you can. I believe that violates terms of service.
Is it, though?
I mean, you're technically showing lady parts, but so
If you're not shooting down there, and Johnny's just in the room, and you see just Johnny... Are you breaking any rules?
I still think so. I don't think you're supposed to show that kind of stuff.
And he joked, like, hospitals won't let you do it. Yeah, but I can wear a secret camera. It's fine.
I mean, he could.
He could.
He really could. I know people that have done that.
They would live stream it. They film it. So anyway, the Johnny Gargano era has ended. The Grayson Waller era has begun as the fans boo him as he entered the building.
I need to know what Grayson Waller's purpose is other than being a man whore. I need that explained to me. I'm sorry. I don't know what other purpose he serves.
He's a celebrity? He's a social media sensation?
No.
No?
No.
No?
No. No.
No?
Uh-uh. Not buying into that at all. I need more. Like, I need... Like, they're obviously behind him. They're obviously pushing him. That much is very apparent. But literally all the dude has tried to do is get laid. That's it. That's all he's tried to do since he showed up to NXT is get laid. That's it.
Has it worked out for him?
Has not worked out for him. He got mad. He had a mad at LA Knight because LA Knight apparently took a girl out from under him and drove off. And so he beat up LA Knight and drove off with, I believe, Tiffany. What's her racket? Tiffany Stratton.
Did he actually drive off with her?
I don't know. I think so, maybe.
I know there was an interaction. Anyway, we'll get to that.
He drove off with some girl. I didn't see who, but he drove off with some girl.
I think Tiffany blew him off. If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Anyway, our first contest on NXT was Cameron Grimes, Duke Hudson, No Holds Barred.
They got a little rough with each other in this one.
Before we get to the match, I like how he got his wig trimmed.
You know, you gotta live the gimmick.
that was a great social media post. But no, this was a good match.
This was a lot better than the hair versus hair. Obviously, it was a lot more physical. There was a there was that sticky spot with the choke slam onto the chair. Like, that looked a little rough.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, other than that, this was actually pretty good, pretty entertaining. Hopefully Duke does not have to wear the wig any longer.
No, we pulled off the headgear. He's bald now.
I don't mind it. Like, it's not bad. I hope they let him grow his hair back, though, at some point. Because he did have nice hair.
Yeah, I bet they do. But Cameron Grimes got the win with the cave-in on the chair for the victory in the No Holds Barred match. Mackenzie Mitchell then interviewed Cora Jade about her match with Dakota Kai. Jade was very excited. She's medically cleared. She's good to go. And Dakota tried to warn Jade that Raquel's using her and, you know, and and all that stuff, and maybe you guys can win the Dusty Cup one day or something. And then Jade called Dakota mom, and she's going to beat Dakota tonight and making her one step closer to challenging for the NXT Women's Championship.
I like the mom. Okay, mom.
Whatever. Because, I mean, she's the elder statesman of NXT. You know? She is the
she
mom.
She is.
All the other moms are gone.
She's the top dog now, so I guess she's mom. As long as she's not running around naked with a Halo helmet, we're fine. Like other internet, you know, elder states people that we know, Lubo, we're looking at you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then there was this thing where Briggs and Jensen were with Casey and Kaden at a country concert.
I don't know what happened here. I was very confused.
I was very, very confused.
I'm not sure if they're, like, just hanging out, if they're dating, like, what the situation is.
I'm not sure.
I think it was just a way to get them all on TV. I have no idea. Like, they keep pushing Casey and Kaden, and they haven't really done a lot with them.
They're the TikTok stars.
They're the TikTok stars?
Yes.
Which, again, that is for another generation that is clearly not targeted at me. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But yeah, I'm not sure what they're... Is NXT too young for me now? Am I too old for NXT?
No.
Is that my problem?
Maybe. Maybe.
Am I now officially a boomer?
Yes.
God.
Grayson Waller in his building. He got some asshole chants from the crowd. Talked about Gargano saying, "You never lose if you bet on yourself." And Waller talked about Gargano talking to the crowd, the fans, and himself. Waller said he did what he said he was going to do last week. Get all the views, the trends, and that's what happens when you bet on yourself. Waller told the production to show the footage of, you know, the beatdown. He said he cemented himself as the NXT star last week. He talked about winning War Games and taking out an NXT legend last week. He talked about how he was celebrating with celebrities all week while the fans were just complaining online. He read off some angry tweets, including one from Wade Barrett and Vic Joseph.
Oh, you do not talk shit about Wade Barrett. He will beat your ass.
Waller says he doesn't need friends or fans. He said the only thing he needs is himself, Grayson Waller. So yeah, that was he's the it star. He believes he's going to be an it star. This is the best way to put it.
I guess I still, again, don't know what's going on there.
So
yeah. Other than he's a man whore.
Mm-hmm. So Malcolm Bivens hyped up his crew. We got Bron Breakker and Roderick Strong in the main event later tonight. And also put over Ivy Nile, who also has a match. We had Lashing Out with Lash Legend. It was interesting. You had Jacket Time on there. It was interesting. See where it goes.
We'll see where it goes. Like, that's another one that I'm not quite sure what they're doing with Lash Legend.
I'm not sure. Really not sure. But Ivy Nile took on Amari Miller. Ivy, once again, kicking ass. She's going to be special.
She's got it. Yeah. I hate saying this, but I really kind of almost want to see Malcolm and Ivy go off and do their own thing, and then you have the Diamond Mine just doing its own thing.
Like, don't break up this act. Get Malcolm and Ivy and let Ivy just dominate and just keep it going.
Yeah, and let Malcolm manage her.
Mm-hmm.
Because Malcolm Bivens is just amazing.
Mackenzie Mitchell interviewed Zion Quinn about his loss to Santos Escobar last week and wondered what Alexia Lopez's intentions were. He said it didn't matter what her intentions were because it led to Escobar's win. Quinn said he runs it straight, and Quinn said now he knows the rules to Alexia's game. It's game on. And he had Robert Stone show up, and he's sick and tired of all the disrespect from everyone. He said he's going to be serious now. Von Wagner showed up and said he's going to smash and beat more bodies into the ground next week. Why? Because he can. If you have a problem with it, that you could say to his face.
Why don't you put Robert Stone with Von Wagner? That wouldn't be a bad pairing.
I don't know. You would have to make Stone more serious, but yeah.
So here's the thing about Zion Quinn and Electra Lopez and this whole thing that's going on. I really kind of want a just 30-minute noir-style show dedicated to just that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot you could do with the story that they're telling, and I really, really like it. Zion Quinn's going to be something, too. He's very talented. He's that nice, big, brooding, intense guy, but he's got those, like, he's got that comedic side to him as well, and he can also play it serious. He's going to be special, and I'm really liking what they're doing with Zion and Elektra.
Yeah.
They're definitely heating things up and telling a story there, and I like it. Give me my trashy romance shit. Give it to me. All of it.
So Matt Riddle was hanging out with his boys, MSK. They had a bag full of stuff. Scissors, glasses, batteries, earbuds, baseball bat. We had traffic cone, the spinner U.S. title, and Dragon Balls. Real said all these things were clearing their minds. Real said they have to focus on regaining the NXT tag team titles. They said they asked how can they clear their minds and let it go. Real then pulled out a scooter and they wondered how they fit the scooter back. Real said you have to find what you're looking for. You need to dig deep. And they got scooters for themselves. And now we ride. It's something.
They're doing a thing.
They're doing.
I'm not going to criticize. Because I have no idea what's going on. It's like dude meets my car or dude where's my car. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
It's there.
Harlan defeated Guru Raj. Okay, he's gonna be something.
That was not a defeat, that was a murder.
He murdered him, yeah.
Was just a straight-up murder, because then after the match, he's just slamming the dude's face into the mat repeatedly over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the point that it's like the stop, he's already dead kind of thing. Like, Harlan's gonna be something. And Joe Gacy just standing there looking evilly... the whole time at this whole thing for going down, I'm like, I'm just going to throw something at my television now. Because it was Bray. It's Bray.
And then go ahead.
It's just Bray. Anyway, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Then we were backstage and he was trying to be held off by security guards and referees, and then he chucked one of them down the stairs.
Like you do.
Wasn't that Brian Kendrick?
Might have been Brian Kendrick.
I remember seeing people saying it was Brian Kendrick. I believe it was. So, yeah, that's an act. They're building an act. That's okay.
They're building an act. It's okay. I'm just, as I say every week, excessively bitter about the whole thing. But Harland is going to be something. They have something there, and they know it. I don't know if the gimmick with Gacy has a shelf life, but it's a good way to start building him into whatever he's going to be.
Yeah. Cora Jade, Dakota Kai, pretty good match with Cora getting a win.
It was a pretty good match. I feel like Cora maybe needs a little bit more work.
But that's okay.
That's fine. She's in the right place for that.
She's 20. She's growing.
I was going to say, she's really young.
Mm-hmm. Afterwards, Dakota took her out. Raquel made the save. Yeah, Gigi and JC also make their entrance. Toxic Attraction took her out. The shoulder breaker to Jade. Because Mandy was on commentary for the entire thing. So yeah. They're moving things along.
They're moving things along. Looking good. Looking exciting.
So this was the bit. Grayson Waller was backstage. He was talking to Tiffany Stratton, and then he called her a terrible person, and they wouldn't show as she walked away. Io Shirai then threw a fit in his face. And he's like, I think she likes me.
Again, what is his point?
He's trying to be a ladies' man, but I'll take Io going off on people. That's fine.
I'll take Io beating the crap out of people. I'm fine with that.
Tony D'Angelo defeated Andre Chase. Afterwards, he made some comments, and Pete Dunne came out, and yeah.
Okay, what was going on here?
What?
Because Tony D'Angelo had Pete Dunne's mouthpiece in a box.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
Did he steal it?
He must have stole it from War Games, I guess.
He must have stolen it from War Games or something. I don't know, but he had, like, Pete Dunne's, and they never explained it. He had Pete Dunne's mouth guard in, like, a plastic commemorative case mounted and everything. And Pete Dunne comes out, and he smashes the case, gets his mouthpiece out, shakes it off, and then he sticks it in his mouth. And I'm like, oh, honey, you don't even know if that's clean. Never mind if you got all the plastic out of it. Like, that's not good for you. So they're doing something between the two, which is fine. Like, mm-hmm. Let's see where this goes, because, you know, Pete's got boys. They're the NXT UK Tag Team Champions right now, but I'm sure they'd be happy to come over and, like, Peaky Blinders this shit up if they need to.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see if Tony can get a crew. Like, I almost feel like Tony needs a crew.
He needs a mob. A mafia.
He needs a mafia. He needs a mob. He needs to be working his connections on the inside. He needs to be doing, like, all that stuff. And he's not doing that. Like, right now, he's just a one-man gang.
Yeah.
Or it's like you have still Legado del Fantasma kind of holding down that more mafia kind of vibe, where because they're a group, right? Like Escobar and Elektra are leading people, whereas Tony's just one guy. So, and he's still fresh, he's still young, like they're still trying to settle out the character, but I feel like at some point you need to have Tony start to like weasel his way in and kind of like, this is where you need like a Regal.
Mm-hmm.
To have Tony kind of come in and start working his connections to get things. But we don't have a Regal anymore, I don't think.
He's there in name only. We had Dakota and Raquel battling in the parking lot. They had to be broken up. Raquel later then challenged Dakota to where it all began. a street fight.
Hey, let's go.
Either the grizzled young veterans lose to Jacket Time. You had a distraction by the Creed brothers. So, we're heating things up in the tag division.
It's slowly but surely it's heating up. I mean, it's just hard to get excited about the tag division, you know?
Yeah, I get it. We're making a new division. It's fine. Carmelo Hayes and walked out to Roderick Strong and... You know, he also got a, Trick Williams got a picture of a Dexter Lumis picture where it says Trick versus Lumis.
So that's not good.
That's not good. Dexter's coming for him.
Roderick Strong and Bron Breakker in your main event for the Cruiserweight in a non-title match.
This is good.
Yeah. Bron Breakker would get the win. Afterwards, the Psycho Killer returned and now lay down Bron Breakker.
So the feud continues.
Building probably to New Year's Evil where it's Breakker and Tommaso. Good stuff.
Very good stuff. Like, the one thing that I like with Bron Breakker is they're intentionally building him. They're intentionally having him with all the right people that he needs to be working with to get him to the stage that they need to very, very, very quickly.
Yeah. They're getting him. They're building him to become the next face of the brand. And then he'll become the next face of the company if all things pan out.
If all things pan out, yes. So I like how, it's visually intentional.
Yeah, it was visually intentional since day one when he came in. He was the guy.
Yeah, it's like this is the statement that we want to make. This is our guy.
There was no like, we're just debuting a bunch of random people and he's just one of them. No, from the jump, he was given the push. He was the most ready to be put in a position of, hey, we're putting all of our chips, all of Ducutson's chips. In your corner, and that's fine. He has the look, he has the talent. He just needs the reps because we know the family history is there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so that's a pretty solid episode of NXT. Better than last week.
Yeah, way better than last week. It's a nice like start out of War Games. And you can tell that they're beginning to start that push because it's always awkward this time of year because they don't really run any super hot stuff. Because it's like, it's the end of the year, it's Christmas, it's the holidays, it's just stuff, right? So people are distracted, they're maybe not watching as much, so they don't do as much. And then once January rolls around, they hit the road really, really hard because then they're on the road to WrestleMania at that point. Like, they're building to Rumble, they would have been building to TakeOver, like all these different things. So come January 1, I expect that things will begin to heat up again in NXT as they roll forward and they take 2022 head on. Because this year was an awkward year for them because they did the rebrand like really, really recently. So now we're going into the first full year with the new NXT.
We're figuring out what we got.
Johnny and Kyle.
Yeah.
No, Johnny is weird.
No, Johnny is weird, but we'll make it through without him.
Sad.
Just like we made it through without Bayley and Sasha and all them on NXT.
I know, but at least to me, like, Johnny really was, like, the heart and soul of NXT. Yeah. Like, Johnny and Tommaso just carried for so long, and especially when Tommaso got hurt and he was gone for forever, like, Johnny just picked up that flag and he just ran with it.
Yeah.
And it's just hard to believe it's an NXT without Johnny Gargano. Like, you knew it was going to happen, but it's like, God, I just can't imagine it. Because it's like everybody, because it's one more person that I knew that is gone, and I don't know anybody else. I haven't gotten to know anyone else because they haven't let me know anybody else. So it's like, I'm losing the people I'm attached to, damn it. I don't like it. Let me keep my faves.
But I think that's our show for the night.
I think that's our show for the night. Short, quick, simple, easy show for everybody because there's nothing to talk about in wrestling. So with that, you got us to plug, so plug away.
Next Thursday, chat, we're live, 10 p.m. Eastern, for Jingle All the Rack. So what we're doing is a tier list of Christmas movies. The catch is we have seen them.
It's Boots to Asses time!
Thanks, Matt, for 29 months.
Thanks, Matt!
So, if you have movies that you think we have seen, tweet it to us and we'll put them on the list. We're going to rank them next week.
We are not putting Die Hard. I haven't seen it.
So, send us your movies and we'll go through a list and make a list. check it twice and all that fun stuff, and we'll do normal things next week. But Saturday Night Midnight-ish, it's the final CB Radio of 2021. It's the CB Radio Christmas party. So let me explain to you how this is going to work. We're not doing a debate. Sorry, not doing a debate this Saturday. I got games. Playing games on CB Radio Saturday, midnight-ish. Be there, CBRadioLive.com. Sunday, it's WTS Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday, it's Raw Push, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back for Jingle Iraq next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. If you have Amazon Prime, link is your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKINSOCK or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Buy your new Spider-Man No Way Home skin, now available. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. And if you're pulling for Ito and you need a crystal top-up in Genshin, use my code Linz M. Ward in the Epic Game Store and in the Genshin Impact Store. Please, I would appreciate it greatly if you would do that. Thank you. You can follow me on Twitter at Linz Ward, LANSWARD. And you can check out our very fine sponsor, MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you next week for Jingle All The Rack. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.